Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number three, what's happening? Tuesday, Tiki and Tierney coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. What up? So, not great news in terms of, actually, horrendous news on in the college football front here with the Big Ten canceling their fall season and the Pac-12 immediately following suit and doing the same. We've got three of the Power Fives remaining, still hanging on, hoping that hoping against hope, it seems like, in a lot of instances here. You know, the one thing, Teak, and we've attacked this from every conceivable angle, right, and we've ridden the waves. I think we've done it, and I said this yesterday, I said it today as well. You know, we were not compelled necessarily, you nor I, to come out and be apologists or unrealistically optimistic or fatalist. We were here to, you know, certainly take the news, gather it as it came in, deduce and piece together, and then let you know what we think was going to happen. And yep, this is pretty much what we thought was going to happen, that there would be no fall football. The question, though, is, and it's really laced in anger, the lack of vision. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that a lot of people say, and I've said this about baseball, that a baseball bubble would not work. I've said that, and I said that loud. Would a football bubble, even if it was a modified version of it, if they were so inclined to put this on the table months ago when the NBA did, and maybe punt this into a spring bubble, would that have worked at all? What do you think?
Well, it depends. There's so many guys to take care of with a football team, talking NFL and even worse in college. Just to take a sidestep, Major League Baseball looks like they might be considering a bubble for the postseason. I think you're right, for the regular season, with all 30 teams, it would have been logistically impossible. And in fact, they probably hurt themselves a little bit by expanding the playoffs, because now you have 16 teams as opposed to 10. But if you had 10 teams and you could split them into leagues, put five on one side and, you know, five on the other, you could easily, in two cities, have a bubble for, you know, however many players that is, 200, less than 200 players or so. So baseball might do it anyways. I think it's prudent if they do it. College football, I think, would be very hard to put into a bubble because of the fact that there are 80 to 100 or so guys that are on each roster, not counting the coaching staffs, which are big, and putting all of them in one place where they could be isolated, it just doesn't logistically make sense. The reason this came up and the reason we're talking about it is because there's a league, the Spring Football League, which usually takes place in the spring. It's for undrafted free agents and others who aren't in the National Football League to get a shot at making an impression. They're moving it to the fall, and they're putting it in a bubble. Now, these aren't big teams. There's only going to be 19 players per team. I think there's six teams, so it's less than 120 guys. They're going to put them in a bubble, and they're going to showcase. They're going to play within a week, and it's basically like a – think of a college football camp like the kids used to go to, and, you know, some coaches would show up and some wouldn't, and you'd evaluate kids at these camps ahead of the recruiting process.
Or senior week.
Or senior week, yes, you're right. And this is kind of what that is.
Yep.
It's not really a league.
No.
I guess they're playing, they'll do some snaps and there's be some organization, but it's really just like a camp. It's not football like we know football, and it probably, honestly, BT, wouldn't be that interesting to watch.
No, I'm not very interested at all.
But could college football, obviously the Big 12, the Big 10 is gone now for this fall. The Pac-12 is gone now for the fall. The ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 are still hanging on. But let's say that there is some sort of attrition and teams decide not to play, or no more conferences decide not to play. Could there be a bubble of the remaining teams? Again, it would be logistically hard, but if they're going to play, I think that would be the only way to do it. I just don't think it's doable.
I don't think it's doable on any level now. I think that even if you were to begin constructing an aggressive plan for spring football bubble,
mm-hmm.
then I might keep that on the respirator for another month or so and see where we go with a vaccine or two, just kind of see the direction scientifically. I don't know. There's no way that at this stage, it's August 11th, T.
Yep.
Even if they punt the season down the road a month and it's, you know, late September instead of, you know, late August, I don't think that's even remotely viable. You know, you mentioned a few of the situations that are determined, but the MAC, Mountain West, UConn, UMass, Old Dominion. So scheduling becomes a bit of an issue. So let's say the Big 12, whatever. I think that the thought of crossing conferences, like I talked about this yesterday with Dennis Dodd, I thought it was just not plausible. And it's not even so much from the NCAA, but it's from the limitations for the conference for the TV contracts.
Yeah, but I think the TV contract they would figure out.
No, right? But I don't think so, because what Dennis was tweeting today, and we had him on, and really, if you listen to Dennis Dodd's interview yesterday, it's very, I want to pull up the tweet, it's very different, completely different than what he was tweeting today, which is fair, because as you gain information, you put out different tweets. I'm not taking a shot. Dennis is good as he gets.
It was happening in real time.
For sure. But he tweeted this. Let me just find this. He's been on a tweet binge, understandably. Let me go back a couple of hours ago. All right. It's got to be right before this. This was about whether or not you can actually take somebody like Nebraska and, in essence, loan them to another conference. All right. Two sources in the TV rights industry now telling me it's doubtful Nebraska could go free agent for a season. Rights are owned by the Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Fox. And while it's still a fluid situation, doesn't seem very encouraging.
Yeah,
but that was totally different than what he was saying. Yeah, it made it seem like it was easy. I'm like, Dennis, there's no way you could do that.
But honestly,
you can't do that.
You can't, but you probably could. If the TV networks are going to, they would suspend their ownership of that team for a year just to get something on TV. Because think about.
But would the conference allow them to do that?
I don't know. That's,
well, that's part of his tweet.
I think that's the bigger issue, because the conference would now be losing money. They would not be party to that money. It would go directly to the university, and maybe there'd be a back end share agreement. Who knows? But think about from a TV perspective.
Yeah.
They're now stuck. The SEC hasn't done this, so CBS isn't fully affected yet. Mm-hmm. But let's say the SEC decides to stop playing football this season into the fall. All of a sudden, CBS has these blocks of nothing, right? So if you're
the best games of the week too,
that's right,
best
exactly,
games of the week.
Because the SEC has been
best
so
conference.
Powerful over the last couple of years. So if all of a sudden you're like, well, we got an opportunity to put something on, won't we relinquish the rights at least temporarily? I think that could get solved, but I just don't. Like, logistically, how do you? I'm not talking about like managing the players. I'm talking about how do you schedule? Like, who do you play? You know, some teams may say, "All right, our conference says we're not playing, but we're supposed to have a game with you. What do we do now?" It just becomes out of control. And the other thing that's not uniform is the safety protocols. Certain universities will do it differently than other universities, and conferences will do it different than other conferences. And ultimately, again, I'll go back to the failure of the NCAA not having the right infrastructure. I'll put it on leadership, but this is really an infrastructure thing to handle something like this. Not that anybody did, but it's been a little bit of time. It's been, you know, we've been in, what are we, how many shows have we done now? I want to, like 20 weeks? We've done 20 weeks, BT, since we've been home. Right, so it's 20 weeks.
I think it's more than that.
It might be. It might be 25. Who knows?
Definitely more than that.
But it's been 25 weeks since this thing really hit, and nobody thought to make a plan about how the season would play, unless they just originally said, "All right, the season's over." And I don't think that was the case.
I agree with you, which is why I think they look horrendous. Yeah. Listen to this tweet. So Scott Frost says, "Quote, he estimates." To me, see, this is problematic. I'm not surprised by this number, but there's a deeper issue here. So Nebraska estimates, according to Scott Frost, an $80 to $120 million hit if there's no football season. They generate a ton of revenue. We get that. There's no pro football team in the state. They run the show. Understood. But here's the quote from Scott Frost. The biggest factor is if we don't play football, we're not going to be able to pay for anything around here until we start making money again. That's a quote.
Yeah.
Does anybody kind of think that there's probably a little too much emphasis on the football program if you can't pay for anything else?
Yeah, it definitely
is. That's a sad commentary on the school.
But you know what happens, BT. The football team makes a ton of money. They build something new, a new facility, athletic facility. It takes $50 million or whatever it is, and all of a sudden they're not making money. They use debt to finance it. Now they can't service the debt. I mean,
or halt construction,
which is worse. You know what I mean? Because then who knows what happens to it? It becomes a liability in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. You're right. I know that college football is the lifeblood of athletic departments, but at some point it's got to be more than just the money. And I think that's how some of these coaches are reacting. Not that it's going to impact them because their contracts are guaranteed. Some of them will take pay cuts, especially if there's not a season played. But this is bigger than the money. And I think it's also for the kids' sake. The kids want to play. And we keep seeing this on social media. We want to play. But I think kids are simplifying it and not looking at it from a full university standpoint, just looking at it from their standpoint, because they know that if they play football and they're really good at it, then they have a great opportunity in a couple of years.
I get it. And that's why Nebraska and Scott Frost, as we listen to the head coach, is hell-bent on trying to get some football this season.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
Yeah, and again, based on those who do this for a living, that doesn't seem incredibly optimistic. Yeah. Go ahead, Teague. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, when you hear him talk like that, because he's saying, I mean, he's specifically saying the Big Ten, right? We will play college football, whether or not it's in the Big Ten or not. But what if there isn't college? What if there isn't a Big Ten? The Big Ten is not happening.
There
this
is
year,
no Big Ten,
right? So why can't there just be college football?
You like know what randomness?
I mean? Yeah, like randomness to it. And now the problem. And James Franklin talked about this when he was, I think he was on with Greenberg this morning. We have the sound here. Yeah. He talked about this, about how difficult this is to go forward. This is before he knew that they were canceling the season. But listen to James Franklin when he talks about what they should be thinking about as opposed to what they ultimately did.
Okay.
And that's another reason why you delay, because you're coming up with these other models so that when we say, okay, we are playing college football or we aren't playing college football, that now we can list out what the plan is for our future. This is how we're going to do it in the spring. This is why. Let's spend the next month coming up with solutions rather than just calling it quits.
And apparently, as we all know, that was James Franklin with Greeny on ESPN this morning. Now we know, right, how these coaches were thinking. They were like, we know it's going to be delayed. We know it's going to be odd, but don't cancel it right now. Give us some time to figure out some plans. But it goes back to what we've been saying all day, BT. Why wait? Why now? Why not 3 months ago when you know that that you're likely going to have to start thinking about alternatives. There was no leadership.
Yeah, for sure, to have multiple plans. Not to cancel it 3 months ago, but to have multiple plans.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If this happens, then this is what we're going to do. If this happens, then this is what we're going to do, right? I mean, listening to Andre Iguodala talk about the bubble. Now, the bubble in Orlando from NBA is so different than what we're talking about here. But think about the, you could hear the detail with what he was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like you walk out of your room, you forget your mask. Okay, there's a station right 100 feet from where you left. There's a mask, and there's hand sanitizers everywhere. There's protocols. You have to self-test, and you have that little thing on your finger that takes your oxygen consumption and your heart rate and your temperature, and you got to do all of these things just to be part of normality. And everybody wears a mask. Everybody wears a mask at all times. As much as it sucks and you feel constrained, you do that to protect everyone else around you. Like they have it right. Nobody else did this. Nobody else started.
Well, they have it right because they have the money to back it up. Hockey has it right.
True. That's right.
Hockey has it really right.
No positive tests for them. And they're
none.
And they're in two locations. Not just one. They're in two locations.
That's true. It comes down to money. It comes down to money. It comes down to roster size. It comes down to are you in the middle of a season? You're just trying to, stuff the back end and then you roll right into the playoffs like hockey and the NBA? Are you at the end of training camp or spring training and on the precipice of a season and you need to unveil an entire season or whatever constitutes the start and eventually the duration of a regular season, 60 games in baseball, obviously?
Yep.
Different time frames and different logistical challenges.
True.
It's not one uniform.
I would be remiss if I blamed it all on money, though. I think this is more a lack of leadership. There's nobody governing college football. Yes, there's a governing body, the NCAA, but no. The fact that Mark Emmert, 3 weeks ago, whenever the heck he said this, I saw this somewhere.
So tired about here.
But his direct quote is, "This is on the individual conferences to make these decisions. This is on the individual universities to make these decisions." Mm. Now, they don't know what they're doing, right? You should have been thinking about this, or collectively, you all should have been thinking about this, and nobody was.
Let me just add, I think that they thought about it, the NCAA, and they very quickly came to the realization, we don't want that. You guys do it. Too many challenges. That's on you.
Well, that, and we
they thought about it.
We probably don't have the power to do it, and they don't. Right. Just like they don't have the power to subpoena when they think someone's cheating. Mm-hmm. Right. They don't have the power to do this. So maybe we need to rethink what the NCAA's role is, because to date, it's been great, at least in as far as, generating revenue. But as soon as you have a hiccup, and yes, this is a major hiccup, you're incapacitated. The NCAA is neutered right now. Yep. And all of a sudden, the only thing that can happen is presidents of colleges and university athletic directors and coaches start and players, student athletes throwing around ideas. And it's just, it's a cluster, man. It's like everything is like it's like frustrating. You know what I mean? Because there's no direction and somebody needs to give direction. Absence of leadership creates anarchy. And that's what we have right now.
Teague, it's like they get in their collective cars, the NCAA, right? And, like everybody, there's no traffic. They're on a freeway. They're going 65, maybe a few over the speed limit, but making good timing, listening to some music, nice, smooth shot, no impediments, nothing in your way, no construction. All of a sudden, you blow a tire. You either know how to change a tire or you don't. And anybody could drive on the open road, and when things are going well, the open road for the NCAA,
it's a great analogy.
They do it well.
Great
the
analogy.
First, thank you. The first time they got to jack up, they probably don't even know where the spare is. They don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So they are lost, and they are lost on the side of the road like they usually are when something pops up or flares up. All right, I'm going to ask the question, and we'll answer this coming up next here on Teague and Tierney. Boy, I asked this with trepidation. I can't believe I'm going to ask this. Would a Saturday and Sunday schedule in the NFL. So we know we're getting it on Sundays, but imagine we get it full throttle on Saturdays too, both days. Would that be too much? Would that be overload? NFL, is there such a thing as too much, without college football, could there be too much NFL? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. Tiki, 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 can't you see? Tiki, tiki, tiki. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Do you know that right now GEICO offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Just visit GEICO.com to learn more. All right, so our viewing schedule is going to be radically different this fall. The question is, not will the NFL infiltrate Saturdays? They most definitely will, and they most definitely should. The question, though, is how many games do they eventually elect to dump onto Saturday?
Yeah.
And it really does create, and they'll figure that out. They're smart enough to figure that out. But I think what I want to, you know, ask you, and by extension, I want our audience to ponder, you know, I guess this year the answer could be there could never be enough NFL based on no college, or at least very little college, whatever. But, you know, Monday night game. All right. Thursday night game. Multiple Saturday night games. Sunday games. Is it? It's not too much for me.
No.
But do you think it's too much for the average NFL fan?
No, I don't think so. I think the NFL, interestingly, has an opportunity to grow its fan base because there'll be a lack of other options. And yes, it'll suck. But think about you know, from a college football standpoint, it sucks. But think about from a baseball standpoint. Right now, there's baseball on every single day, and you can
baseball's on every day. Anyway.
I know, but I agree. That's my point. Baseball's on every single day. But guess what else is on every single day? The NBA, multiple games on every single day. And so you get like these options to watch different teams that you maybe just never got a chance to see. I've never seen the Orlando Magic play ever on just like sitting down watching TV because it's never on here. You know, maybe if they're playing a national game, but they haven't been good enough to play.
Or the Knicks or the Nets, but I got you.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I hear you.
The Knicks and Nets I can watch here, but I'm just talking specifically for me in New York. I just like, you just don't get to see all these other teams. Come Sunday, if I'm not, you know, working per se and watching, you know, the Red Zone, I don't see the LA Chargers play. I mean, I see the highlights of them play, but I don't see them because they're not on locally in our market. And so I think with the NFL, what this opportunity creates is a chance for like these regional teams to become national. And I'm not talking about like the Rams, who were great a couple of years ago. They were always national, right? Because they were on national television more times than average. But now there's a chance to take some of these less than national teams. I'll give you the perfect example, BT. The Arizona Cardinals, who are up and coming. They have a good young quarterback. We can watch him in primetime on a Saturday or some other time because there's limited inventory now to overlap. So I think it's a great opportunity for the NFL to showcase some big time, like up and coming teams in a slot that just wasn't available before.
Well, to your point, and I agree. Like, I'm looking at the first week here, week one in the NFL schedule. Obviously, you have the Thursday night game, Chiefs with the Texans. So that will remain isolated. They're not going to dump that into a Saturday. That'll stay put. But I'm looking at the Sunday schedule, right? And is there a way to, so you have the Eagles in Washington. Can you split it up, right, where you have on Saturday, you've got, you know, Wentz, Haskins, interesting. You've got, you know, whatever the Patriots are playing, the Dolphins, we'll see what the Patriots are. But whomever's playing, Cam or Stidham, and just because there's no Brady, it's interesting. Maybe Tua's playing for Miami, it's interesting. You got the Packers and the Vikings. You illuminate Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. The Colts, Phillip Rivers' debut, you get to lock in and watch that, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Bears, whomever emerges from their quarterback battle in camp, and then the Lions with Stafford, who's a big-time player. And rather than have all these games, these are all 1 o'clock games I'm ripping through, by the way, then you just boot to the next day, like, all right, you know what? Now you do Seattle and the Falcons. You can watch Russell. You have a greater chance of watching more Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, right? Greater chance of watching more Baker Mayfield and the Browns versus Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, or Sam Darnold versus Josh Allen and the Bills. To your point, you can really strategically divvy this up. And while you still might not watch every single second of every single game, there will be far fewer buried, and storylines will be more mainstream and palpable, and there'll be greater identification and familiarity with teams and players the average fan does not ordinarily get. Yeah. I agree.
I think it'll be great because that's what's happening with the NBA, BT. I don't usually watch some of these teams play. I just never see them. Phoenix, which is a really interesting team. They're the 10th seed right now. There's no reason I would be watching them at this point of the season. Yeah, they're outside of the postseason, but I'm watching them because they're on and it's available. And I'm like, dude, I like this team.
Yeah.
Right? I like their unis a little bit. This is kind of cool. The question would be, do we need all of college football to be canceled? Or if let's say the ACC and the SEC, let's just pick those two. Because of Clemson and Alabama, you know, the two most recent national – oh, no. They're not, but they've won a lot of national champions, but you know what I mean. Or LSU is there too, so it's the SEC as well. So the SEC or the ACC, let's say they're playing. If you're CBS or Fox, aren't you going to play those games as opposed to supplanting it with the National Football League? That would become the question. And I think the answer is that they stick with college if the SEC and the ACC still play. But if it's all gone, this plan that we're just talking about, I think it's a no-brainer.
Well, they'll stick. You know, obviously, we're going to stick with the SEC. That's one of our great properties, along with the Masters and, you know, the NCAA tournament. I mean, CBS has amazing properties. So they're not going to say, let's just throw the Jets on here in New York. And no, you're going to watch the SEC. And I think that they would, and I think that they should. But now you have to wonder, are there other networks that could parachute in an opportunistic fashion?
Yeah, I hear you.
And maybe, you know, buy or release the temporary rights from whether it's CBS or Fox, whatever it might be, and go head to head, which I wouldn't advise, because if you do that, now you've got fewer people, in theory, watching the college games, because some people love both and some will gravitate to their team, whatever. And so you got fewer people watching college and probably fewer people watching the NFL because you're splitting the pie.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would be advantageous at all. And you can't – go ahead.
I was going to say, who wins when – like Thursday night football always wins over whatever game is happening on Thursday night in college, right? It always wins.
Oh, absolutely. Those games are – I mean, come
yeah.
on.
Now,
trust me, I bet some of those games. They're not very high profile.
I know it. So let's say –
But that's the games you win.
That's true. That's true because nobody's paying attention. But let's say the NFL is on Thursday night football, and because the SEC and the ACC are the only two conferences playing out of the Power Five, that Alabama is playing somebody else on Thursday, whoever it may be, one of the Group of Five teams. You know what I mean? Who would win that? I know you wouldn't do that, but like it's an interesting scenario.
Yeah, but that would be I don't want to use the word suicide. That's why I was trying to think of a better. That would be such a counterproductive move.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Alabama do that? Or why would any network even try to entice Alabama to do that?
For the money?
But the money's what the money is already. You already have the contract.
No, but you probably don't. So what I think is going to happen, and we kind of hit this in the last segment, BT, I think the contracts are going to be – they're going to be fluid. I mean, they have to be because the content isn't there. Like the game is the content. It's just not available.
You can make the case it's the opposite because now that there's fewer high-profile teams – that the games, I've got 57 Big 12 games, the Big 10's not playing, the Pac-12's not playing. Guess what? Even if you don't even care about college football, you're watching me. Yeah. So I'm not going to break off some money to you, the school, and give you a discount. If anything, I might consider charging you more.
I don't think so.
But I say that for effect.
Yeah,
they will charge more. But I don't see the need for a discount or an adjustment because there's only so many networks that have games, and there's just a dearth of games based on the cancellation by two major conferences.
But when there's a void, it's science. Like when there's a void, something fills it, right? There's a void,
not always
right?
something good, though. And people are smart enough to sniff that out.
True.
At least sports fans.
True. But there's going to be a void, and something's got to fill it. Right, the programmers are thinking about this right now. What in the heck am I putting in this slot now that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have canceled their seasons, and the Mountain West and the MAC. What am I putting in these slots? This is locally and obviously nationally as well. But what are we doing?
Let me ask you a question.
Scramble, man.
It's a big scramble. It's like a Hail Mary. Not easy. No TV network executive can prepare for this. I don't care how savvy you are. You can come up with something that works. But you do not anticipate, well, maybe you do anticipate everything. I don't know how you anticipate a pandemic. So this is everybody's, you know, the smartest minds are in a room bunkering down, trying to piece this thing together. Do you do something like, remember when the pandemic first hit, CBS was putting on old NCAA games. And after a while, that ran its course and that got old. We wanted some real stuff. But you know what? Something that I've never really watched a lot of growing up in New York. I just wasn't exposed to it. Just say it. There's no SEC season. Got, you know, if that's what we're looking at, 3:30 Eastern on CBS. Do you put on a 1977 matchup between Alabama and Auburn? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Honestly, I think those ran their course. They were interesting for about a week and a half.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
Probably.
Like all of any old game. I don't care if it was 1977 or 2007. They just ran their course. It became like really obvious that this is not relevant because it's not live. Maybe it was interesting because, you know, it was an epic game. Maybe you would stick with that. But other than that, it just became like, ugh, I don't
But then maybe have on like a few legends from the school live.
See, now that makes it interesting.
Like brought instead of the older, maybe actually, I don't know. Let me just think of somebody. Have
you're explaining.
Have Archie Manning broadcast an Ole Miss game.
Yeah, so you're explaining the story behind the story. So it's not traditional play-by-play. It's like, oh, this was what was going on at that point.
Correct.
So there's not, I was going to say better color, but that's insulting to whoever was doing it.
No, I know what you mean. It's different context.
It's different context.
Different layer.
Yes.
It's almost like when you watch, and as we see, CBS does a great job with this, when you'll watch a golfer take you through a sequence of shots from years ago.
Yeah.
Like they still remember the lie. Was it thick? Was it buried? Was it, you know, was it propped up in the sand? Was it, was it an egg? I mean, like they don't forget that.
Yep.
And you know, I've seen Jack talk about shots that he hit 40 years ago. As you'll hear Jack's voice and you'll just see the video and, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. They'll figure this out, but the bottom line is we don't know. As much as we want to try to know or try to facilitate us eventually knowing, we don't know. So we just keep on going on. All right, let's get the update from Bob Huesler. We'll get the blast right after that. Bobby's update is right now. Ready for the blast here on a pretty interesting Tuesday on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. First up, though, it's time now for the Game Plan for Success sponsored by Napa. And as we take a look at the Mavericks and their plan for success, Dallas they weren't throwing up a ton of threes last night, but they were efficient when they took them. They took 24. They cranked in 12, 50% on the button, only eight turnovers, so they protected the basketball. So they played very efficiently, and they wound up beating the Jazz, a pretty good team. 122 to 114, Mavericks three up and three down in the bubble, and now a game within the Jazz for the sixth seed in the West. So whether you stop by locally on Napa Auto Parts Store, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. It's been an interesting day, Teak.
Yeah.
Been an interesting day.
Been in college football cancellations that, you know, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, you never would have seen coming. Now the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC have decisions to make. Mm-hmm. Now, you listen to the SEC talk about this, they'll basically say the decisions of the other Power Five and Group of Five conferences are not influencing us, but they are informing us. But again, this all comes down to different folks, different interpretations, different considerations, different medical experts. The ACC's, in fact, said it's safe to play college football. So they're not thinking about the heart enlargement issue that the Big 12, or at least the Big 10, base some of their changing dynamics on. So we'll see what happens. But it's uncertain for sure for all college football.
It is. It is. All right, let's get to the blast. Go ahead, D-Cell.
It is.
It is. All right, let's get to the blast. Go ahead, D-Cell.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, the Jaguars finally a little contact with defensive end Yannick Ngakoue, who fired his agent. So that's good to know. They've actually spoken or texted. I'm not exactly sure how the communication was had, but there was communication, which represents progress. Is the tide turning, or is Ngakoue still done with the Jaguars? He seemingly has been very definitive with what he's put out there. What do you think, T?
Yeah, no, I think he's still done with the Jaguars. He wants a new deal.
Yeah.
He's not going to get it because Jacksonville is in limbo in a sense. They're kind of rebuilding, but not really. They fired the vice president of football operations, but held on to their head coach and the general manager. They shipped out all their talent, but kept some other talent. I mean, it's Leonard Fournette, I tried to trade, now he's there because he wanted Cam Newton as opposed to Gardner Minshew. I mean, it's like, what's going on in Jacksonville, man? I think his agent may be a scapegoat, but I don't think it's getting better in Jacksonville.
The only thing that could change is, you know, if they come with some cheese, watch out quickly and Ngakoue backpedals and says, I love it here. Yeah, I'm pretty down with the rebuild. I'm good. Let's go build around me. That's fine. Now, I like Ngakoue. I like him quite a bit, but I don't know that he's the player. I think he's just like a tick below the type of player that you give the big, big money to and say, all right, this is the dude that's going to anchor us as a top-level defense for the next 5, 6, 7 years. He's a tick below that. He's good, very good, but he's not there all the time. He's disruptive and splashes, and then he's kind of gone. No, I don't think this ends well with him remaining with the Jaguars. I agree with you, Teague. Lamar Miller, remember him, running back?
Yeah, man.
He's going to be joining Cam Newton with the Pats here, but remember, he hasn't played. He tore his ACL last preseason, so it's been a full year. Will Miller impact the Pats' offense? He's fine. You know, he was, before he got hurt, I would say, tell me if you think this is a fair estimate. I would say last year, entering the season, even just based on fantasy value, I'm thinking about our drafts, he was anywhere between the 8th and 11th, maybe 8th and 12th most valued running back, which means he's very good. He's not a superstar, obviously. But he catches the ball, and he's pretty decent.
Yeah, agreed. He's effective as a receiver. He's effective as a runner. He's powerful, but he's also got some speed to him. Now we'll see whether or not that speed, or he's lost a step. What do they say? Proverbially lost a step.
I don't know if you got it on that.
Proverbially lost a step. The question is, does he fit?
Right? Yeah.
Sony Michel is there. Still, James White is there. Rex Burkhead is there. It's a crowded backfield, man. Damian Harris, they drafted last year in the third round. He's not getting there, man.
Instead of four wideouts, they go in four running backs. I mean, they're going to draw something up wacky.
Look, we know that they use a lot of running backs, and it's versatile.
Yep.
Is he going to be impactful?
Probably not.
Maybe in a game, but not totally.
The Raptors. I'm sorry. They are pretty stacked at running back. The Raptors, a lot of names for sure. 5-1 in the bubble. They've won 26 of 31. They're red hot. Now, despite the Bucks actually having the better record, are the champs the best team in the East? They got the best coach.
Yeah.
Who got screwed? What do you think, Teague?
I can't say that Toronto's better than the Bucks right now, especially if you get the games like we saw from Middleton a couple of days ago. And you got to believe that as the bubble continues, he's going to dial in more. They still haven't gotten – I mean, has Eric Bledsoe played yet? I don't think he's played yet.
I thought he played the other night. He came back.
Maybe he did.
He came back.
I can't remember if he played.
Yeah, he played.
So
not much, though, to your point. He came back.
And again, so once he gets back, you know, doing what he does best, I still think that the Bucks are better, even though Toronto is not going to be an easy out.
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean – are the Bucks tougher than the Raptors? I don't think so.
But do your rule. what is your rule?
Well, if I take the five best players or the 10 best players, depending upon the sport, and I list them in the order sequentially in terms of who I think is better, whichever team has the most players of the 5 or 10 is usually the team that wins the series. That's a recipe that I've done for a long time. The Bucks have more depth. The Raptors might just have a few more higher-level players by one.
Really?
They might. They might. I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, listen, I think Freddie Van Vliet is, if I'm the Knicks, I told you I'd give him $50 million this summer. I want him in New York. I think he's really good. We know about Siakam. We know about Lowry. I mean, they're a pretty good team. They're a pretty good team. So it's close. Do I think they'll win the championship again? Again, I don't, but I'm giving them a puncher's chance because they have big heart and they are well coached and they're winners.
Who you got, Siakam over Middleton or Middleton over Siakam?
Oh, Siakam. I'm going to take Siakam.
Lowry, Bledsoe, Van Vliet.
I'll take Lowry over Bledsoe. Okay. I like Bledsoe. I don't think he's anything special.
Okay, so Bledsoe, Van Vliet.
But it's not Bledsoe, Van Vliet because it's now, since it's Lowry over Bledsoe, now it's Van Vliet over whomever else you want to throw at me on the Bucks.
Yeah, so Giannis, Siakam, Middleton.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. Giannis, Siakam, Middleton. Go ahead.
Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
So number five is Van Vliet or Bledsoe?
I'm going to take Van Vliet. I'll take Freddie. Take Freddie.
Slap in the face.
I'm going to take Freddie.
And that means Toronto for you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Diamondbacks place Mad Bum. Uh-oh, he didn't look too good. He hasn't been the same guy for a little bit. He's a World Series hero and a masher when he hits. But Mad Bum's stuff is depreciated just a little bit. It's evident now he's got a back strain. Started the season 0-3 with an ERA of almost 10. That was encompassing four starts. Can Mad Bum regain his ace form? Not in the conventional ace sense. No, the answer is no. No, the answer is no. He's just, I was going to say, not in the conventional sense. He's never going to be this guy. He really never was that guy where he goes 20, like DeGrom or, you know,
Scherzer.
Cole, Scherzer, Bieber, like these six strikeout. No, that's not him. He's just a big game, big guts, big horse guy with big ones.
Yep.
Who's not afraid of anything. But over the course of 32, 35 starts, if he's even ever healthy enough to get them, his stuff is B minus to that's a little low. His stuff is B level stuff at this point, not A stuff.
Look, he's 31 years old. He's a legend, three-time, you know, a World Series champ, World Series MVP. He's a big game pitcher. He's not a overpowering, I'm winning the Cy Young. He's been top five a couple times, but he never was going to win the Cy Young. It's just when you put him in that game, guess what? He was showing up.
He really
did. He's a Hall of Famer because of that. Not because he's going to get the maybe potential Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, we don't have time to debate that. That could be debated, but
it's funny.
He needs another good year or two.
You look at him and I'm like, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He's got three rings. He's World Series MVP, of course. And you're like, 1,800 strikeouts?
You got to get some more wins. Yeah. Not that wins is emblematic of everybody.
Yeah, but even after
the
win.
Even the ERA's never like, this like glistening like 2.10.
What is it over his career?
3.19. I was gonna say 3.30. 3.19. That's close. Yeah. I mean, 3.25 is in the NL is good. It's not Hall of Fame. I don't think.
He's not even getting close to 3,000 strikeouts.
No, and the ERA only goes up as you exit your prime. So no, right now he's actually not a Hall of Famer. Okay.
Oh, we're at the end of the show.
Oh, we are. We got to go. Teak, have a great... How much time, D-Cell?
10.
Whoa. Oh, no. What are we going to do? How do we say goodbye? Teak, have a great night. Thank you, man. I'm off for a few days. Teak's got you the rest of the week. Back on Monday. Safe, sensible, sane. Do it. Hang in there, and we'll see what happens with the rest of college football. Have a great night. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.